The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good morning, Rolene. How are you?
Good morning, Kathy. A slightly more relaxed day today in Israel, thank goodness. Good in yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. All right, let's just talk about what's happening with the removal of the metal detectors. What do you think pushed Israel to make this decision?
I think that there are a lot of factors that caused Israel to make this decision. I think what we do need to inform listeners is that the Netanyahu Security Cabinet did hold emergency meetings over the last few days to decide exactly what to do. This was in conjunction with counsel from the Jordanians as well, and the decision was taken to start removing the metal detectors from the Temple Mount that has basically angered the Palestinians and spilled over into most of the Muslim world. However, Israel will be installing what we call smart cameras, and the smart cameras will be able to do face recognition as well as kind of less obtrusive surveillance. So they will be able to see if people are bringing in weapons of any kind, but it won't be seen as obtrusive as the metal detectors were seen. But there will still be security measures on the Temple Mount.
It's quite a bizarre situation, and the timing. I don't think that we can actually ignore the timing this close to Tisha B'Av. Ro, what's your thought?
Well, this was exactly what I was saying to Howard on air yesterday, is that it's an incredible irony, and it also speaks of like so many of the divisions that we've had within our own Jewish communities around the world of late. And perhaps this is a lesson that, you know, we need to come together, we need to be more unified, because we really are facing much bigger battles. I'm telling you, the cat's got my tongue this morning, and he's lying right
next
to me.
Okay, we'll wait. No pressure.
As far as the global community is concerned.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But look, that's a whole separate issue, I think, that we need to sort out. But all right, so these new detectors will come in. Are there any metal detectors anywhere between Al-Aqsa and East Jerusalem?
There's metal detectors all over Jerusalem. I mean, we know, Kathy, let's be quite frank here, that the issue was not about metal detectors. As much as people are saying, but they're obtrusive, the invasion of privacy. If we look around Israel, around East Jerusalem, if we go down to the Kotel, we have to go through metal detectors. If you pray at any major religious center around the world, including the Vatican, including Mecca and Medina, you have to go through metal detectors and security measures. I do know, a lot hasn't been said exactly what Special Envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, had to do with these negotiations, but apparently he has played quite a significant role, because a lot of people are wondering, where is President Trump in all of this? But he dispatched his envoy, kept it kind of under wraps, and the decision to remove the metal detectors has been seen with a lot of mixed emotions in the political arena. Some saying that they're saddened by the decision, as that you don't have to be a security and to understand that metal detectors have a security and deterrence effect. I think it's bigger than that. I think that the issue is not about metal detectors at all. I think that this has been a very well coordinated campaign to create more provocation, more incitement, that results in more terror attacks, because, and I hold the United Nations and I hold UNESCO complicit in this as well, with their resolutions that deny Jewish claims to the Temple Mount and to other holy sites, and this gives the impetus for this kind of action.
Yeah, let's talk about Jordan. And can you update us on that? That was a crisis that broke, actually, it was a story that broke early yesterday morning.
It broke early yesterday morning. Then it was kind of removed because there was, because of the diplomatic sensitivity, it was removed and then, you know, made its way through the day yesterday. And as the hours progressed, so more news broke. But the guard who shot the two Jordanians in self-defense has returned to Israel, thank goodness. There were calls in Jordan for the death penalty against him. So thank goodness he is home. He is safe. I think a very, very harrowing and tense phone call between Netanyahu, King Abdullah, and the diplomatic staff facilitated this and have kind of calmed down the situation. But I think that there are a lot of other issues at play with regards to Jordan. We do have a peace treaty, a peace agreement. There is a lot of mutual economic and security cooperation, and I don't think anybody wants to jeopardize this. And just to fill listeners in on exactly what happened, a security officer at the Israeli embassy in Amman in Jordan was attacked by, and he was 17 years old, a 17-year-old worker who came in to do routine furniture replacement. He defended himself, and the stabber was killed, as was somebody else in the scuffle. And the Israeli security officer was taken for questioning, and this is a huge issue because as a member of the diplomatic security team, he enjoys immunity as per the Vienna Convention. So a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and a lot of discussion was had, and thank goodness things have calmed down on that front so far.
All right. So, I mean, what's the next move? Is Israel going to bring the security officer back? Are they going to do their own investigation?
He's back already.
Okay.
I think, you know, what will happen is he'll probably be debriefed. He'll probably have to explain what was happening. I think that this was all compounded by the situation on the Temple Mount. I don't think we would have seen the Jordanians react the way that they reacted if it wasn't for the tension on the Temple Mount, because they used that to justify it. In fact, the stabber who was killed in the attack said that he's doing it because of the Al-Aqsa. So I think that we tread very, very precarious landmines here in the Middle East. So I think every effort was made from all sides to make sure that this cools down and doesn't become an explosive tinderbox, as these issues often do.
You know, I just look at the timing, that it's during the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, that it's just crazy. I mean, do Israelis consider that, or is it not really, is it only something within the frame of reference of, observant Jews?
I think the irony has not been lost on Israelis. I have seen a number of op-eds and comments from Israelis saying, you know, Tisha B'Av, and, you know, we can't ignore the ironic coincidence.
Yeah. All right, Ro, let's take a look at Rex Tillerson. Okay, first, before we even talk about will the U.S. get a new Secretary of State, have you followed Anthony Scaramucci? He's the new director of communications. He's replaced Sean Spicer.
But for how long?
I don't know, but I have to tell you something. Despite the fact that he's very sweet on the eyes, he is funny. He is very funny. He's got a verified Twitter account. Go and check out the things that he tweets. He's a funny guy. And not the parody account.
I'm going to check that out. Apparently, he has already had some interesting clashes with members of the government establishment. And they say that maybe Scaramucci, who's known as perhaps a little bit of a moocher, I think the press just like to rhyme things. You know, you see what I did there?
No.
Scaramucci and mooching. You see what I did there?
Okay, but his nickname is the Mooch.
So, exactly. So they're saying that they don't quite know how long He will be a communications director because he's a little too happy with the spotlight.
Really?
And we know that when it comes to the president, that, you know, nobody steals Trump's spotlight. Nobody. So the bets are on, like, how long will the mooch last and how obsessed is the mooch with the mooch?
You know what? I think that if he gets the job done and he can communicate in a coherent way and not backtrack halfway through a sentence, I think he's doing a great job. And it's okay if he likes the spotlight. Look, if you're in communications and if you're in, you know, if you're a spokesperson, you certainly can't be somebody who wants to fly under the radar.
Well, this is exactly what the New York Daily News have said in an op-ed that they've published this morning. You know, there was Sean Spicer. He was quite unassuming, plain. He was a regular guy. Of course, he was fodder for comedians like Saturday Night Live, and I think they're going to be quite devastated because who's going to do the mooch? But they say, now you've got Scaramucci. He looks like an actor out of Central Casting. He's got a permanent tan. He wears bespoke suits. He's got perfect hair, and he ends his press conferences with air kisses to reporters.
I know.
So, look, they have to do some damage control because, bless his heart, Spicer suffered terribly from foot and mouth disease, as we, the Jewish community, know. So,
yeah, what was it?
Really,
even the Germans didn't use gas like the Syrians.
Exactly. So yeah. He didn't endear himself to the media or to minority groups in the state. So let's see what happens with Scaramucci. I don't mind blowing him an air kiss right back.
Look, he's quite sweet on the eyes, I have to say. All right.
Yes.
So just tell me, so what's happening with Tillerson? Is he moving out, Secretary of State?
Well, are we going to see a Rexit? Is Tillerson, Secretary of State Tillerson, going to leave his position as the Secretary of State? Apparently, he has expressed a lot of frustration with the Trump administration, and he's deciding now whether or not he should step down from the post. Also, his previous job was as CEO of ExxonMobil. And according to the law and according to several sources, he may leave earlier than expected because he may be in violation of U.S. sanctions against Russia while he was working for ExxonMobil. So Tillerson may Rexit the Trump administration.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. We were talking about a shock. You know, and how would you name a South African shark? I mean, would you name it Jabulani? Would you name it? I settled on the name Rex. Rex. Come Rex. So maybe
Rex is a very strong name for a shark. I have to concur with you.
And a naughty little pony as well. Rolene Marks, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. And
I don't even have a comeback.
Have a wonderful day. And we'll catch up with you this afternoon, just after 5 o'clock.